Today's daf is daf Nun Aleph. We're holding on the fourth line down at the two dots. And we continue on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, we've talked about the husband's right to a chazaka in the nechasim of his wife, with all of the complicated cases where that would be important to tell us. Turned out that it's only where he opted out. Otherwise, if he didn't opt out, it was obvious. He's not going to be any better than an artist and so on. Then we examined the implications about a chazaka not, but a raya yes. How would it be a raya yes? It shouldn't. Okay, now we have to do the same thing in the opposite case in the Mishnah, which is, we said, Lola Isha ben Yechse Ba'ala. So here we're going to ask exactly the same questions. What chiddush is there to tell me that a woman cannot claim a chazok of Ba'alut because of the fact that she was eating from her husband's field? Obviously, she had a right to eat, didn't she? I mean, it's very reasonable to say that a woman who has a parnasa from her husband was given a place where she could take care of herself. She doesn't have to be concerned every day where she's going to get money. So pshitak, even the itla mizoni, mizoni yudekahachla. Why would we assume anything other than that she has a right to the perot? Exactly what we said about the baal. Same way that the baal would have a right to perot. So why don't we say that this is a rather trivial point? Must be talking about, again, a particular situation in which it's not trivial. So what would be the case of the woman? Lo tzricha diyiched la ara achrite lemizona. It's talking about over here that actually the husband had been miyachid her a field, and it was a different field. Now she's been eating from this field. She said, well, if I were eating my mizonot, what was I doing in this field? Therefore, the Mishnah comes along to say, despite the fact that he had been miyachid for her a field, he's still not going to be makbid on her a field from another field. He just set something aside that she can know nobody can bother her about. But, I mean, if she wants to eat from another field, it's not going to be mocha on it. So there is a chiddush. Now, again, the implication is she doesn't have a chazaka. But of course, if we're discussing a chazaka, then she clearly had a raya. Because, I mean, the only point of a chazaka is that it's a backup to the fact that she had a raya but lost it. But had she had the raya, presented us with a shtar, then we would have had to say, well, apparently she bought the field from him. Well, why not? Because a raya yesh, why did she have a raya just like we had the issue by a woman, where the husband claims to have bought a field, so we say, well, then we have to deal with the problem of nachat ruach asiti levali. Therefore, even the raya shouldn't be good. So we ended up discussing the case of the nechsei meluk, particularly, and that's where it would be no tain in nachas ruach asiti levali, with the whole discussion of hamema. That took us like way into all of these tangential discussions about sales and about the kinyan aguf, kinyan perot, and so on and so forth. And the same kind of thing is true over here. So when it comes to the case of the woman, her title would be, I agree because of Nachat Ruach HaSitil Vali. What's the equivalent in this case? Why would a husband sell something to a wife when it wasn't really being sold? There is a rather tricky thing. And that is, if a man wants to discover whether his wife's got hidden funds, he offers to sell her a field. All of a sudden, she's got money. Aha, he says. I suspected as much. So therefore, he could say, I never intended to sell her the field seriously. It was a little detective work, you know? So why can't he say, let him say, I just wanted to see her hidden bank accounts. So apparently, I mean, if the Mishnah needs to talk about chazaka, and therefore clearly implies that there would be a raya, then the Mishnah seems to be definitively saying, and we're going to say this in major machlokas later on, the Mishnah seems to be clearly saying that Shema min ha-mocher sadeh lishto kanta, so apparently, later on, when we're going to have a Mandi Omer shortly, who says that he can in fact say, I only wanted to discover hidden money, that's wrong. There's even a mission that's wrong. Because otherwise the whole thing doesn't make sense. If she wouldn't have a raya, why are we discussing chazaka? Chazaka can't be better than the actual shtar. Says the Gemara, well, now wait a minute. There's a very simple way of construing the Mishnah. The Mishnah might be talking about a chazaka, not where she claims you sold me a field, but where she claims you gave me the field. Right. Now, if she's claiming you gave me the field, and she had a shtar matan, that would be the equivalent of raya. So we would say, haraya yeshua, meaning, if she presents a gift contract, so then, enochinami. That's true, because if he's gifting the field to her, he can't say, I want to see if you had cash to pay me for it, obviously. So maybe that's the only case that the Mishnah is talking about. It's not talking about kinyani, in money, the lekicha in terms of money. So, says the Gemara, we could simply say, Ema, the implications of the Mishnah are, she doesn't have a chazaka that was a chazaka to a raya, which he's claiming would have been a gift. What would the raya be there? Haraya yesh, that is to say, a shtar matana. And perhaps Ein Hachinami, the Mishnah was never addressing a case where the shtar that she had was a shtar that she paid money for something. There you could say, well, of course, I needed to know if she had that money. Now, what happened once is that Reb Nachman said to Reb Huna, you know, you didn't make it out to our fantastic discussion. You didn't get there in order to allow for the attendance to the Beit HaMidrash of all of the areas that were around a city. What they would do is they would put the Beit HaMidrash as close to the Tchum as possible, which would allow any overlapping area to be in the Beit HaMidrash. So the Beit HaMidrash was generally located close to the end of the Tchum of the city. So what Reb Nachman says is, you didn't make it out, and they used to call the Beit Midrash the Tchum, because that's the only thing that they would have specifically, a building on the Tchum. So he said to him, you weren't there in the Tchum. We were saying these great things, you missed this really fabulous conversation that we had. A shame, a real shame. And it's not even recording. Omaleh, well, tell me, my mili maliyata, what are these great things that you were talking about? Well, said Reb Nachman, what we ended up discovering last night was that Amocher Sadeli Ishto Kanta, Velo Amrina Legluya Zuzudaboy. If somebody sells a field to his wife, it's a good kinyan, and he can't come back and say, well, I never intended to sell it, I just wanted to find out if she had any hidden bank accounts. So said Reb Huna, that? Boy, I'm glad I missed that one. That's trivial. You call that mili maliyata? Chita! I mean, what are you saying? That what? The money. Forget about the money. We're saying she presents a shtar. I'm not talking about your chazaka. I mean, we said she doesn't have a chazaka. She presents a shtar. So you're saying, but the money, after all, was only there to be magal. Forget about the money, okay? Suppose he had sold her with a shtar, and she hadn't even paid any money. I mean, that's just as likely, because the dinners that a shtar would be kena, because there's no indication in the shtar that the money was paid, just that the field was transferred. The shtar is not dependent on the money being transferred. So therefore, why in the world would you say that, well, I wrote this shtar out because of what? You wrote the shtar out without even getting money. So, Dal Zuzimiyaka, can we forget the money for a minute? He actually went ahead and wrote her a shtar. She could be cornered with that shtar without any money. The money is irrelevant to shtars. Milo Tanan, Mrs. Beferish in the Mishnah, Nechasim Shieshlam Achrayut, that's the way in which we refer to real estate, because we only generally provide a guarantee on a sale that I'll back up on real estate, because real estate could have liens against it, so I'll give achrayut. So we call real estate a chasim sheyesh lo achrayut, guaranteeable property. So real estate can be nikneh bekesev ubishtar uvechazaka. So in other words, the kesev is separate, the shtar is separate. The shtar means something that has no value at all. So then why are we discussing legluya zuzin? So bishleima, if the question had been, a woman gives money to her husband and says, in exchange for this money, he promised to give me the field, and the husband says, yes, I did indeed, because I wanted to see the money. Then you could tell me something. But a woman who has a raya, that means there's a shtar. If there's a shtar, it doesn't prove anything because the money is irrelevant. Omar Lane, now wait a minute, said Reb Nachman to him. That's very misleading. You know perfectly well, Lavitmar Alarma Shmuel. Shmuel said about that Mishnah that when it says you can be kind of a shtar, irregardless of the kesev, it was only referring to a shtar matana. But if you, and we already said that. I mean, yeah, shtar matana, of course. What are you going to say? I wanted to find out if she had hidden money, so I gave her a gift. I mean, it's a nonsensical statement. So if it's a shtar matana, the same thing is true over here in the context of kinyanim. A shtar matana stands on its own without any money. Well, obviously it does. But a shtar mecher, says Shmuel, don't make the mistake of thinking that a shtar mecher is going to be chal before the guy pays up. A shtar mecher means this is your raya, conditional, of course, on my receiving the money. So then that would mean, what do you mean, dal kesev miyaka? If you dal kesev miyaka, then you dal shtar miyaka. Because Shmuel explained that the shtar is a contingent shtar. By definition, you don't even have to write. I mean, we write in our shtarot today in sales of homes, you know, contingent upon the mortgage and all kinds of different things. Here it's taken for granted that it's contingent. That's the meaning of the shtar. Giving you the shtar because I got paid. So there, lo kanat shitein lo damea. Even if you write the shtar, you need to get the money. So don't tell me it's trivial. If I'm telling you that a woman has a kinyan with that shtar, it's because there was money given, which now brings us back to the issue. Can the husband say, well, of course the money was given. I needed to find out where her secret bank accounts were. She claimed she didn't have a Swiss account. So because of that, I'm telling you something that's a chiddush. No, not so fast. The chiddush you're saying is because of Shmuel. Remember that Rav Hamnuna attacked that statement of Shmuel. And this was all a whole sugya in Kiddush, which is sort of referring back to in shorthand, you know. Well, you remember what Rav Amnon said about that braita? What Shmuel said about that braita? Yeah, says Rav Amnon. You remember, says Rav Amnon, you remember what Rav Amnon said Shmuel, about Shmuel. He brought a raya. V'lav moti Rav Amnon. On Gen Shmuel, claims that a shtar is contingent on receiving money from the following braita. Bishtar Ketzad. Katavlo al haniyar or al acheras. You write on a piece of garbage. I don't care if it doesn't have any value at all. It doesn't have to be any value when it comes to a shtar. You write the word sadai mechuralacha, or sadai netunalacha as a gift. Arezu mechurav netuna. That is what it seems to be saying, either a shtar mecher or a shtar matana, either one, arezu mechurav netuna on the spot. So in other words, that means that the shtar alone exactly is what is makna without any kind of money. So then that, if that's the case, so then how could you possibly say, Shmuel, that the shtar is contingent on the receipt of money? Well, now, you remember too, don't you, sir, that even though Rav Amnon asked that question, we had an immediate response, which he figured out himself. Umotiv lavo mefarekla. That the case over there would be, b'mocher sadeo mipnei ra'ata. It is true. There are cases where a shtar stands on its own, and obviously, in order to indicate what a shtar is, we would like to separate it from kesef. So let me take a case where we don't have to worry about money, because I don't want to confuse the issue. I want to talk about a case where there's a mecher, and the shtar stands on its own, despite the fact that no money was transferred. And what is that? A lousy piece of property. I've been trying to sell for the past 20 years. I finally get a sucker who buys. You think I'm going to wait to get the cash? At that point, I'll sell it to him and let me go after him later if he doesn't pay. But I'm dying to get rid of this. So in a case like that, we don't say that it's a given that a shtar is written contingent on the money. There we say, Adarabha, the guy's psychology is he'd much rather be able to get his claws into somebody else, even if he doesn't have the money. He doesn't want the field. So that was a specific case that we brought as a ukimta in order to be able to illustrate how it is that a shtar works without money. But generally speaking, Shmuel's statement that in a normal case, a shtar is contingent on money transferred stands. So therefore, I still maintain it was not trivial. I told you a chiddush. There was money transferred, and nonetheless, the Baal cannot say that he only did that in order to get his hands on the money, and that he never intended to sell the property. You should have come out last night. We could argue this out altogether, you know? Not the ex post facto. The Rav Ashi Omar, obviously, Rav Ashi didn't really Omar in this conversation because he didn't exist. This took place before Rav Ashi. But, I mean, the Gemara often does this, right? Because we have a sort of hypertext table at which all generations stand simultaneously. So it was this svara was later said by Rav Ashi. And we stick it in over here. Rav Ashi pointed out that you're missing the point. When you write out a shtar mecher, it doesn't matter if it's written as a shtar mecher. Actually, the idea over here is you thought that we were talking about two different cases, writing bechira and writing a matana. It's not two different cases. It's one case. You read the vav as either or, right? Well, I'm telling you, no, that's not either, it's not either or. It's both. How could something be both mecher and matana? For very good reason. Because actually he didn't take any money for it. So in other words, you're asking from the Braita to Shmuel, right? You're saying if you write in the Braita, this field is given to you, we thought it meant, or this field is sold to you, and therefore you're saying that he's Kena even though no money was paid. But the Braita was referring to a strange case where a guy was giving a sale gift. Now, what is a sale gift? A sale gift means that the person wanted to enhance the rights of the recipient. So he wanted to give him to him as a gift. Why then did he write, but it's a sale? It's a sale gift for a very simple reason. You give a guy a gift, and now somebody has a pre-existing lien and comes and collects the gift. 5 years down the line, boy, you look like a pretty big Indian giver. You're giving the guy a gift with a lien attached. You know, thank you very much for your great gift, the guy writes him. I invested in the property, and then somebody comes and claims he owned it, and you were playing games with me. So what he wants to do, therefore, is be miyate kocho. He wants to make him in a stronger position by saying, but you have all the rights of a sale, despite the fact that it was a gift. Which means that just like at a sale includes a guarantee against lien collectors. I'm including a guarantee. So if somebody comes along and collects, you show your contract. Says sale. Says sale, I want the money back from you. Seller, who gave it to you as a gift. So that is an extremely generous kind of thing that you're doing, and you want it to be perceived as something very generous. Nobody's going to be able to attack this field. I'm going to make up for it if at any time anything happens, anything goes wrong. That's a very nice gift. But of course, there's no money exchange. There's no money exchange, so it has nothing to do with Shmuel's case. Shmuel's case is talking about a Shtar Mecher. Shtar Mecher indeed is contingent on money. So this way we avoid the whole problem. We don't need to have an ukimta that it's talking about specifically a case where the guy just wants to sell and he doesn't care if he gets the money some other time and leaves it as a mortgage against the, you know, let the guy pay up sometime. We're talking about a case where he isn't even selling.
Can you,
Sir Richard!
Can you spend it by giving up the proverbial $1 or...
Well, that's what we do in modern parlance. This is bought the field in exchange for $1, which is what allows you to have those legal rights. Obviously, you don't want to write the $1 because then that's all you'd be able to recover. So here you're writing full value, which allows you for the guarantee to be full. Meitamit. Lava min ha'eved v'shichuro. Somebody takes a loan from his slave and then he frees it. So, would you have $1 million I could borrow? No. So, okay, so now he frees him after he gets the money. Or, mina isha, then he divorces her. Best time to find out if your wife's got a Swiss bank account is to borrow the money and then get rid of her. Try to go after a bank account after. So over there, he was borrowed from his wife, but then he was megarisher. So they cannot come back and ask for their money back. Because over there, what he was really doing, my time, apparently, is because he's going to say, well, you think I was really borrowing money? I mean, where do you think this money came from? He obviously has been stealing me blind, you know. Kol ma shekana evet kana rabo. My wife's been stealing me blind. Or, you know, to come on to stealing me blind. Lamaisa, the norm is that I would have had a right, at least to the payers of her things. I could have invested it. And then, you know, these were things that boils down to things I should have been using. So I'm telling this is my money. This was my gia to me the whole time. And she pretended she didn't have it. And things like that. Most things, maybe she made the money. If she made the money, she never opted out of my parnasa. So that money would have been mine. Or maybe she won the lottery. I'm the one that's supposed to get it if she wins the lottery. Because I'm zerchat her mitzvah. Again, unless she opted out. But she didn't opt out. So therefore, I want it.
He saved the book of money.
You know, maybe, but what's 99% of the cases is where we can't be sure, you're right. But there's such an overwhelming amount where you want to take the money back from him. You're right, 100%. But now that he's got the money, they can't be tovea the money back if he's claiming that this money is my money. So isn't that then a riot that Reb Nachman is wrong? Forget about it being trivial. Apparently a guy can say, I went ahead with the transaction, in this case a loan transaction, which where my only intent was to fool the person into letting me know how much money they have. Because that's my money. Now that he gives it to me, despite the fact, obviously over here I wrote a contract. In other words, we're discussing a case that's meaningless. How could I recover it? I wrote a contract putting a lien on my fields to this woman, or to this Eved. So they have what to be tovea. Nonetheless, I'm saying, yeah, but that wasn't meant seriously. There was no way that I was going to be able to get the loan out of them, which wasn't a loan at all, but which was the access to a secret Swiss bank account. So it's my account. So even though I wrote the lien, it's obvious that I didn't mean the lien. Now, that's exactly the opposite of what Reb Nachman said. Reb Nachman said, if you created a lien with the Shtar Mecher, so then that's it. You know, you can't claim that you wanted to know whether there was any money. Says the Gemara, well, yes, that's true. But how are you comparing the two cases? One is a case of a sale, and one is the case of a loan. We really don't believe that a guy wants to put himself into a position of borrowing $1 million from his wife. Bad position to be in. Very bad position to be in against an Eved to owe him $1 million. So, Memela, there's a shiny atom. A person does not want to put himself into a position of becoming an Eved to his Eved, or an Eved to his wife. And basically, when you owe somebody money, that's the situation that you're in. You're an Eved. And so there it's more reasonable indeed to say that his machshava was to use this as a trick. But if you're going, now you're giving a shtar of mechira, that's a perfectly normal thing. So over there, the kabbalat achrayut and so on, what's the problem of Eved Lovel Ishmael? I mean, it's not that I already gave her money back in exchange or anything like that. I gave her the field in exchange for her money. Why should I have a right to claim? I only wanted to find out if she had money. Shalach Ravuna Baravin. Amocher sadeh le'ishto kanta. Now, Ravuna Baravin sent now a tshuva that says that if somebody sells a field to his wife, that she's kone. And what's interesting is that the Baal eats the perot of the field that he sold her. Because in the same way that Achilas Peres from Nichsei Malug would be true if she bought a field during the course of their marriage, or gets a field from somewhere in the course of her marriage, unless it's specified that this is given to you on condition that your husband has no rights to it, he still gets the rights in Nichsei Malug. So now, if she bought a field from him, he could still turn around and say, okay, fine, you own the field. What does that have to do with it? I, anyway, get the rights to the perot of all the fields that you own, so here's another field that you own. You know, thanks for the cash. We said that if she's Mecher Nichse Malug, we had the whole discussion, and she doesn't get any rights. It's like all Nichse Malug. We had a big discussion just before. What's the Nichse Malug that she sold? That was the Yamema thing. Do you have the Keach to sell Nichse Malug? What about the Kanas Usha? All of those issues had to do with the Nichse Malug. So the Baal is Ocha Perot. However, he wrote, Baram, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Avu, v'chol gedolei ador. I mean, you know, that psak that runs against Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Avu, all of the gedolei ador said that the way to read what actually happened in the sale is that b'matana b'keshnit lola v'lama katav lola shum mecher kedei leyafot et kolcha. Actually, it was a gift. And since it was a gift, the din over there is, I give a gift with generosity. That's about Yafa. I give it with generosity. I don't intend to turn around and say, well, but I'm going to keep the payroll. That's like the guests that bring you the box of chocolate and eat the whole thing. You know? Have one piece of chocolate. You know? Or the wine. The wine. Drink the wine. You manage to get like a half an ounce of the bottle. So the idea over here is, I mean, that's not the kind of gift you wanted to give her. So you gave her a gift. So why did you write it as a sale? You wrote it as a sale in order to allow her to sue for the achrayut in case it was taken away by the lien. Why, by the way, in the other case, I mean, over here he just wrote it as a sale. Why in the other case did he bother writing that it was a gift? I mean, what do you gain from its being a gift? And what's interesting is that you do gain very much, because in giving it as a gift, although you lose, if it were only a gift, you lose the ability to collect on the lien. That's why you need to express it as a sale. But you do gain in a case where a neighbor sues for rights of first refusal, which is called the din of a bar mitzvah. A neighbor can say, why did you sell to this guy and you didn't offer it to me? I'm the next door, and you know how much more it's worth to me because it saves me so much in terms of scale. So now I can use the same tractor, same people, just expand the field. And indeed he has a right, as we were attacking because of Asita Yashar Vatov, he has a right to recover that field from a guy that you sold to. I mean, he has to return his money, but he can force the guy to sell him the field. But if I give a gift, what are you going to say? Why did you give the guy a gift? Well, you could have sold it to me. What are you going to say? I mean, that's a silly thing. I wasn't interested in selling the thing. I needed to give a gift. This was the field I owned. I wanted to gift it. So there you can, Taina, that it's a Sita Yashar Vatov. So by writing to this fellow that it's a gift, you are all, first of all, it's the truth. I mean, it was a gift, but you're being meyapek kocho, and therefore you need to make sure that it's clear it was a gift. But when you say it's also a sale, we take that to mean, and you have a right to recover from me any liens that were taken out from this field. So that way he's covered all around.
Which wouldn't be true if it was a gift.
Of course not. Achrayut means I will give you back your money.
So why doesn't that allow also the leading of Paris? And why is it only?
Why doesn't it allow? We're not talking about a wife. This case. No, that was a case stam, where a guy gives, it was the way we understood the Brighton, right? That's what Rav Ashi understood to be the real meaning of things. Okay, in this case, all he wants to do now is to be Meyapa Kocha. So therefore, she would not have a right to be able to turn around and insist that he wants the payroll. Meitveh. So here are this conversation, which took place separately from the one we had a moment ago. So they also asked the same question. Love up. Mina eved v'shicharo, mina isha v'girsha, ein lahen alav klum, my time alav mishum de'amre l'gulu yezuze, who the boy. So this whole discussion is off, because if we know that somebody who gives a shtar of this kind of sale to his wife, never meant to sell it. How did we get to a point of discussing whether he even meant to give it with generosity in order not to be able to call pay raise? I mean, all that this says to us, once you're a little bit sophisticated about these tricks, all this shtar says to us is not, look at this lovey-dovey husband who wants to give his wife a guaranteed gift. It says to us, look at this suspicious husband who wants to uncover his wife's secret Swiss bank accounts. So how do you square that with this psak of Rabbah and Rabbi Avu v'chol gedolei ador? My time, Allah b'shun de'amir le'galuy yezuzi u'deboi. Isn't it clear that the Braita is saying that we always assume the worst about what this really means? Answers the Gemara, same answer that we said when we asked it a moment ago. Look, that actually shiny hatam over there, since we're talking about a loan, that's why it's very reasonable to give it another pirish, because people don't take loans from people that they don't want to be in the position of Eved Lova Lishmalveh. Omar Rav, Amocher Sadel Ishto Kanta, Vahabal Ochel Perot. Rav said, on the other hand, if you write out a sale, so then indeed it's like any other nifse melug, and the Baal eats perot. If you wrote the shtar as a matana, then kanta ve'ina Baal ochel perot. Whereas Rabbi Elazar said, in all cases, we view it as a complete kinyan, echad ze ve'echad ze kanta, ve'in ha'Baal ochel perot. So we view it as a netina, which was the Ayin Yafar, or Mechirah, but Ayin Yafar doesn't come back now to get the Perot. Rav Chisda went ahead and paskin halacha lemaisa in his Beit Din, like Rabbi Elazar, that we always view the shtar to a woman as giving her complete rights and not just rights to the value of the field. So as we've got quite a few levels over here. Anyway, so we've got quite a few different levels here. We start with a loan. A loan, because of the din of Eved Lo Avalish Malva, that is always viewed as a detective work, not a serious shtar. Then we've got the issue of a sale. So when it comes to a sale, there we had a machlokas, whether the person was meant, is trying to be megala, the money, or whether it's actually a valid sale. If we say that it's a valid sale, then we have a machlokas. Is it a valid sale, which gives her only the rights to the nifsei melug, which allows the husband to come back and be toveah the rights to the perot? Or is it basically a gift in which it was done by Ayin Yafar, and she owns everything, and the Baal can't even come back and claim the peros of the nifsei melug? So this is quite a spectrum of shitos and cases that we've been discussing. So the psak that Rav Chisda gave was like Rabbi Elazar. So, Omer le Rabban Ukva, Rabbi Nechemia, b'nei Barte de Rav. Now, Rav's grandchildren, Rav Ukva, Rabbi Nechemia, were outraged that Rav Chisda should paskin against Rav, because Rav said that the Baal is Ochel Perot, and he had gone ahead and paskin like Rabbi Elazar, that in a case where somebody sold, the Baal is not Ochel Perot, and it's Semimug. How could you go and follow Rabbi Elazar's psak instead of Rav's psak, when Rav was recognized as someone who was greater? Because, I mean, even Rabbi Yochanan would write to Rav, the Rav Beder Shebabavu. Remember this whole thing after Rav died? Shmuel, he started writing to Shmuel, Chavireno Shebabavu. Shmuel got all upset, tried to prove that he's really Rabbo, and went, was the whole conversation. So, but it's clear that Rav was greater, because all of these others were Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan himself was Mechabit Rav, as Rabbeinu. So how could you, they wrote the Rav Chisda, Shavik Mar Rav, Ravi, you know, you left the real authorities, the big people, and you went into Navik Gezutra, you went and followed a lot of Achreinim around here. What are you following these Achreinim? Omale, so he says, it's not true. Ananami Kirab Reyavde. I was actually following the Gedolim that you're claiming, and the ones that gave the Gushpanka to Rav to be Rabbeinu, it's actually Rabbi Yochanan that Yosef Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Echad Zeh VeEchad Zeh Kanta VeEina Baal Ochel Perot. That actually he himself said that under all circumstances, whether it's done as a shtar mech or it's done as a shtar matana, the husband cannot come around now and claim the rights to the perot of the Nechsei Beluk that he himself sold him. You certainly agree that Rabbi Yochanan has a right to argue on Rav. What are you going to tie on me? Omar Rava Hilchata. Truth is, la halacha that Hamocher said, now this is not going to make any sense. Hamocher said, Eli Shtolo Kanta. Now that seems to be saying, if somebody sells a field to his wife, he can always claim that he was just trying to find out if she had a secret account, right? And the halacha further is that Habal ochel perot. The statement is evidently contradictory. So it makes no sense at all. We're going to ask in a moment. So in a case where it's mechira, it's not a mechira, but the husband gets to eat the perot of the non-mechira. Nonsensical statement. Continues. Bimatana, but if he gives a gift to his wife, so then she's kanta, and since a gift is definitely given by ayin yafa, so then the Baal does not have a right to turn around and eat the perot. Asks the Gemara, huh? Tarte? Did you say both of those contradictory things in one breath, or did you take a little drink in between? Lokasha. We actually have Gemara to talk about the drink. Lokasha says they're going, no. There's two different cases, and now we have another twist that we didn't think of before. How about if the money was bought, the field was bought from money that was in an account that he knew about? So she has an open account that he's been handling. So how's he going to turn around and say, well, I wanted to open a secret bank account? You know perfectly well there's enough money in this account that you were always aware of. What the dispensation is now, currently, of that money and so on, that you can argue. But you certainly can't come back to me and say, I needed to find out if she had secret funds, if she paid directly from the account that you were in control of, or that you knew perfectly well about. So Bishlema, had she indeed transferred funds from her Swiss bank account, in Otinami. There we do, Pasuk. And these were two separate discussions. One psak is that if it's from a secret account, then in Otinami the seller's bottle, because he only wanted to know the account number. And the other is that if it's not from a secret account, then the sale is chal, but the din is that it's not ba'ayin yafa, and that he gets to come back and to eat the perot. So kan b'ma'ot t'munim, and kan b'ma'ot she'inan t'munim. The Omer Rav Yehuda, by the way, this is a well-recognized thing, we're not just making it up, Rav Yehuda actually paskin, that ma'ot t'munim lo kanta, ma'ot she'inan t'munim kanta, something that you forgot to take into consideration the whole discussion until now, that it's not magic, that it's not kaina, it's only where the implications of the circumstances are such that he really did need to find out about money that he had no way of knowing. Tana Rabbana, ein mikablin pikdonot, this whole problem of ma'ot that people are hiding and that they really, it's very suspicious that they have it. Yes, it's possible that someone came and gave this woman $1 million in a Swiss bank account, al tnai that ein labalich rishut lah. Yeah, it's possible that she owes, has this money. You know, it's that's considered to be definitely. I mean, not that nobody has rishus to it. But no, the truth is, if she had won a prize, also he has got, unless she opted out before to the takrani, he would also get that. That's definitely mos aboim lirusha abolam mumakom acher. I mean, it's completely out of left field, right? Yeah. You know, the truth is, isn't there a law against accepting gifts on precedence, right? You already gave it away? But to give away the prize would be better. That's just the money. But it would have been a perfect excuse to at least allow himself to remain less of a laughing stock. I'm not allowed to accept prizes.
Not exactly a strong card.
Dangerous. Probably Isha Teher. Tan Rabban. Ein mekablim pikdonot. So now, suppose you are a friend or a bank, and somebody seems to be laundering money. The bank comes in with $1 million. A woman walks through the bank. She walks into a Swiss bank with $1 million. That's been a minhag of these Swiss bankers to ask no question. But the Gemara says, where you have to be cheshish for money laundering, you're not allowed to open an account. So if she walks in and she's got $1 million, do not accept the deposit. If an Eved walks in with $1 million, do not accept the deposit. And if a child walks in with $1 million, do not...
Come in the face!
Velo min hatinokot, and not from someone that doesn't have legal rights to that. So, again, all of these cases, I mean, it's not absolutely clear that this is a money laundering scheme. I mean, there may be a good reason for all of the cases for these people to be in possession of money. And Eved can also get money when somebody gives it on that chain. That's a valid gift. So it's not that you're in a position of dealing with stolen goods. But you may be dealing with money laundering. And that enough is enough for you to just keep yourself out of it. Now, if you went ahead and did open the account, now what? So now we certainly can't say, well, it's definitely stolen money. Call the IRS. That's not your business. No, she should have stayed out of it. But once you are makabel ben Aisha, if she wants to withdraw the money, give it back to her. You have zero Aisha. Now, obviously, if she died, the banker gets to keep it. I mean, there's no question. Right? If the woman has died in between, this is another thing that the Swiss bankers never heard of. So, as a matter of fact, you know, we can make friends with the people who make sure they die, and that way we get to keep more of the money. So the imeta, so if she dies, yachzir leba'ala. So then, being as there's no claim now, because if she died, then anyway the husband would have inherited her, so then give it back to her husband.
Too bad he doesn't know that.
You mean for him? Yeah. Kibel mina evet. Yachzir le'evet. Now the truth is the evet also has her. You can't say, I'm not giving it back to you. Because how do I know it's yours? You accepted it as a kikadon for him, and that was the assumption of the transaction. So we certainly don't have any raya, so you have to give it back to him as it was accepted. So yachzir le'evet. In mate, however, if the eved dies, then yachzir l'rabo, because at that point you have to make the next best assumption. And the reasonable thing is, min hastam, that kol ma shekana eved kana rabo anyway, and therefore this is really owned by the Rav, and there's nothing to discuss, not to mention the fact that we have a klal that stam avadim or gazlanim, and that also leads us to accept the fact that it should be given back. There's a lot of discussion about the question of eretz. In other words, let's say that in the interim, the eved was mishuchrar and had children. How do you deal with the er problem? That's a big machlokas rishonim, really. The mashmaut over here is you would give it back to the odin under any circumstances, as opposed to the case of the woman, where you would give it in, there you have questions of, you know, divorce and between, shichur. Yeah, of course, yeah. There's no din of an Eved Ivri is just a glorified long-term worker. There's no din of avdus on a Jew at all. So yagzil rabo kibel min akatan. How about if the child wants to withdraw the money? So over there, you have responsibility of making sure, having accepted, you've accepted to watch this money. Part of watching money is to make sure that it's given back to someone responsible. In this case, the one who made the deposit is not responsible, so you can't give him back the money. And therefore, what you'll have to do is, you unfortunately are going to have to become the trustee. And as a trustee, you're going to have to make the kind of investment that is beneficial for this child. And therefore, yaaseh lo segula, buy a treasure. So now it's as if it was a mitziah that you found, and you can't give it back to him because he's not responsible. It was a chiyuv of hashava, but hashava to him as an adult. And therefore, go ahead and do something good with it. We'll see what that is later on. The imate, now if the child dies, yachzir le'yor shavish, go back to his heirs. So, wherever it might have come from. V'kulam, shamru b'sha'at mitata. Now, in all of these cases, if the eved, the child, the wife says, as she's dying, she says, well, actually, these things aren't mine. So, give them back to the person I got them from. They belong to Ploni. So, shal Ploni hein. Now, the Rashbam understands this to mean that because of the fact that they're dying, we give credence to what they're saying, because people generally don't want to lie as they're dying. But the truth is that, the Rashbam says that, no, it's just an example. I mean, because usually people don't fess up till they're dying. But I mean, if she fessed up at any time, we would do what she wanted. The Rambam says it's dafka, because when you're dying. But doesn't mean that you have to believe this, because imlav, if you don't really think that they're telling you the truth, then yes, then you should make a pirish to their pirish and say, well, what they really wanted to do was cover up the fact that they had stolen the money from their husband by claiming they had gotten it as a loan from their girlfriend Sally and so on. So yeah, in other words, she didn't want her husband to find out that she's been stealing from him blind even after she's dead. So therefore, I can make a peerage like that too, and then I give it back to her husband. So it's whatever seems reasonable to me. If I don't really think that this makes sense, and I don't have to do it. And it was actually a maisa of the Vita, the Rabbi Barbachana. Rabbi Barbachana's wife was dying. And Kikashachva, so she says on her deathbed, you know those gorgeous diamond earrings I've been wearing? Anikipa, they actually belong to Martha, B'nai Bartha. They all belong to Martha, you know? It's actually Martha as a male. And his grandchildren, make sure it gets back to him. So Rabbi Barbachana wasn't quite sure whether that was just an attempt to hide the truth. So he comes to Rav and he says, so what am I supposed to do? I mean, should I really give this back or what? So Amar Lei, well, look, imehim nalach, if you trust her, you know, so then you should say kipirushah. We learned to do what she said. So the way she explained things, that's what I'm saying, kipirushah. It's a nice pirush of how you managed to get a hold of these diamond earrings. You know, you borrowed it from Martha. The ilo, but if you don't think that that's realistic, you can make a pirush l'pirushah. You can explain things that she didn't want to, admit where it really came from. The igri amri. Others say that Rav introduced a new thing, and that he didn't just follow what we said until now. What Rav said was yamidala asei kipirushah. If it makes sense to you that Marta would have been able to afford this kind of thing, then, fine. Then you can accept what she's saying. But if there's something fishy, not about your sense of what, you know, what she would want to achieve, but about the facts that she's saying, how would Martha have gotten hold of diamond earring, is what you're thinking to yourself. So then, asei pirush l'pirushah, which according to this means Rav turns it into a more objective assessment rather than ilav, if you just don't feel that it really sounds like the truth, but just it just doesn't look like the truth. It's not reasonable. Okay, but the implication in the Mishnah is that Raya Yesh. Why? Are we to conclude that a mocher sadele yishto kantav lo amrin legaluya zuzi udaboy? No. We may be talking about a Raya in the sense of a shtar matana. Omle Runakul Ravuna, you know, lo havi mar gabam burt betchum de amrin amili maaliyata. Oh, Malay, my mili malayata, when somebody asks you that, you know bad news is coming. My mili malayata amrita. Well, we said I'm okay, sadalishto kantavalo amrita, guli zuzu the boy. Ah! Shita! Dal zuzu miyaka, but tikne bishtora. Oh, yeah? Milo tlanak, Milo tlanak, because of Jisha makrayot nichnin, bekesiv of bishtora, ubekazaka separately. Oh, Malay, oh, yeah? Valav itmar alom ashwil, lashon ala bishtar matana, av bishtar mecher, lo kanat, shite no damea. So what? Well, I've motive Rav Amnuna against Shmuel, Bishtar, Ketzar, Katavlo, Aliyah, Rolacherta, Pachim, Shavapruta, Sadai Mechuralacha, or, I assume, Sadai Kenuyalacha, now raise a Mechura, or Netuna. Huh? So what? Well, I've who motive, who mefarekla? That's talking about Bocher Sada, Sadayomi Beirata, or as in later on, Ravashi explained, Bimatada Bikesh Litnalo, and there was no or, there was an and. Veloma Katavlo, Belashon Mecher, That's true, but that shaniat de lo nechel shvinav sheved lo vel ishmave sholach revun barovin amocher sadel ishto kanta ubaal ochel perot. However, you should know that Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Avu v'chol gedolei ador understood it to really be a gift. The only reason that Katav L'Rishum Mecher was Kedei Le'afot Et Kocha, to be able to collect Achrayut. Meitzeh? Lavam min ha'evet v'shikrov min ha'isha v'girsha edem alaf klum ma'itayim alam mishum d'avrin aglu le'zuzi with the boy. And we do not give it a generous interpretation at all. That's true, but shanei atam d'lo ma'ashu ha'in ha'shonav she'evet lo v'lishmov Omar Rab, amocher sadeh le'ishto. Kanta v'abal ochel perot. B'matana kanta v'in abal ochel perot. V'Rabbi Elazar omer echad zeh v'echad zeh kanta v'in abal ochel perot. Now, ovad Rav Chista uvda ki Rabbi Elazar. Omele Rabbanu k'var v'nechemya b'nei barti the Rav Rav Chista, what? Shovik mar our grandfather, Rav Ravei, and Avik Izute. Amalei, listen, you know, Rav Yochanan was a contemporary. Ananamika Ravi Avdi, the Chiyata Ravin Om Rav Yochanan, Echad Zev Echad Zev Kantavina Baal Ochel Perot. You're going to tell me I can't pass like Rav Yochanan? That's Rav. Omar Ravi, Hilchata Mocher Sadeli Ishto, Lo Kanta. And the field that she was in Kona, the Baal is Ochel Perot. Boing. Bimatana Kantavina Baal Ochel Perot. Tarte? Lo Kasha Kan Bimot, Tubunim Kan Bimot, She Nan Tubunim. Dom Rav Yudha Maot Tubunim Lo Kanta. Kibel קיבל מן הקטן יעשה לו סגולה, ואם מת יחזיר ליורשיו. וכולם שאמרו בשעת מיטתן שפלוני יעשה כפירושן, ואם לאו יעשה פירוש לפירושן. דוויתא דרבא בר בר חנה, כי קשך ואמרה, הני קיפי דמרתו בני ברתא, עתה לקמי דרב אמר לי, וואה, אם האמנה לך, פיין, יעשה כפירושן. והיא לא עשה פירוש לפירושה. והיא קדם רוחי, אמר לה, היא עמידה לך that Martha would afford that, so then עשה כפירושה. והיא לא עשה פירוש לפירושה.